If you would, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. We'll read from verse 25 through verse 33. My text will be verse 30 through verse 32. Luke, chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." When a nation is in distress, the people look for a leader to emerge who will solve their problems. I think of the children of Israel who had been in bondage in Egypt for nearly 400 years, and then came Moses along. And he was used of God to rescue Israel out of Egypt, and so he became their deliverer. Again, I think of the children of Israel during the time of the Judges, when the people were under oppression by neighboring enemies. And God would send a judge to lead them to freedom. We read in the Scripture, the Lord raised up a deliverer. Now, of course, we see similar circumstances today, not only in the distressed nations around the world, but even in our own society. America is looking for someone to rise up and to solve all of our problems. We almost have a Messiah complex. Yet, permit me to say that there is a greater issue at hand than social ills. As a matter of fact, it is the major contributor to our painful situation. Of course, I'm talking about sin. And sin not only is the root cause of the evil that we see in our land, it is also a personal problem which is in every one of us. That is, the Bible makes very clear that all men are sinners. We have violated God's commands and we're guilty. The Bible also declares that the penalty for sin is death. Further, we read that as depraved sinners, we're not able to remedy the sin problem. And that leaves us in a bad situation because we just don't have any viable solution. However, there is a God in heaven who has provided a way. And this provision is Jesus Christ. So as you might have a proper concern about the social ills within our nation, you might be better served if you would take concern for your personal life. For if you're lost, you're a sinner and you need a Savior. You need someone to deliver you from your bondage. And I point you to the Deliverer. I want to speak from our passage today, a message which I've entitled, "Have You Seen God's Salvation?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, we realize that some could not be with us. We pray that you bless those that are sick and afflicted, those who are traveling, Lord. You know the needs, and we pray that your will be done there. We pray especially for Miss Marie that you would bless Father and her situation with the stroke. You'd be pleased to heal her and raise her up. And for Miss Lindsay, that you would be pleased to bless the baby there and that she might be able to carry the baby further along in the term. But your will be done. We commit it to you. We thank you for those who are able to be with us today. And Lord, we just honor you today. We come in your name to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that you would direct your word as it goes forth, speak to our hearts, and we ask for those that are here that are lost, that you might convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus. Grant unto them repentance and faith that today would be the day of their salvation. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation that we have, and that we have indeed come to know Jesus Christ. Thank you for your mercy and your grace toward us. And so we love you today, and we commit these things to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We consider our passage, which is before us, our main concern, verse 30 through verse 32, where he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Of course, that's where I received the title for my message. And so, have you seen God's salvation? want to give you a brief information concerning the context of which we're looking at here today. According to Leviticus chapter 12, when a woman bore a man-child, on the eighth day that boy was to be circumcised. And then the mother was to be purified for another 33 days. And then after that, she was to bring an offering unto the priest. And, you know, that's really what we find Mary. After her purification, she's bringing her offering to the priest. And you can glance at verse 22 through verse 24 and see that that is indeed the case. And so Jesus had been circumcised, and they brought, after her purification, they're bringing an offering to the priest. And as they came to the temple, there was a fellow there by the name of Simeon. Now, he was a man of God, and he was full of the Holy Spirit, verse 25 has told us. And it had been shown unto him that he would see the Messiah. Look at verse 26. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So, being led of the Spirit of God, he came to the temple. And he was present when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus. And you can read that in verse 27 once again. And so when he sees Jesus, he takes up Jesus into his arms, and he proclaims what we found in verse 29 down through verse 32. God, now that I have seen this, you can let me go. It's according to your words. I have seen your salvation. You've made a great preparation for all the people of the world. Now you'll follow in the text after that, that Joseph and Mary take careful heed to what is being said by Simeon. You can read that in verse 33. And after which then Simeon prophesies unto Mary, and that's verse 34 through verse 35. So you have an idea of what's going on, and we come to our passage today. These are the words of Simeon after he brought Jesus into his arms as an infant, 40 days old thereabouts, and there he is. He makes this proclamation. I ask you, have you seen God's salvation? Simeon said that he had. Have you seen God's salvation? Now, first of all, I think it needs to be made very clear, and you already know this, but in case there should be any question whatsoever, the babe that we're concerned about here that's being mentioned in the text and those words which are being spoken over him is in regard to Jesus. Jesus is the person under consideration. Notice, if you would, as you go back to Luke chapter 1, this does involve Jesus. By the context that we see within the book of Luke, this was as the angel spoke to Mary about this baby. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Notice. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great." Notice the description. "He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." So the angel prophesied to Mary of what child she should have and who this child would be. But if you'll go into chapter 2 of the book of Luke, it's also a proclamation of the angels unto the shepherds regarding this same Jesus. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then if you'll notice further down into Luke chapter 2 and in verse 21, of course this child's name was named as Jesus. Verse 21 says, "And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." So we read in the text, in the context very clearly, that as we come to our passage, no question whatsoever that Mary is bringing this one of Jesus, Son of the Highest, the Christ. And so then that leads me to the understanding, since we're talking about Jesus today. And so obviously, if I ask you, have you seen God's salvation, this involves Jesus. Jesus is then the Messiah. Now we know that Jesus is the Christ. Comes from the Greek word Christos, which means the anointed one. He is indeed the Messiah. In chapter 2, verse 25, we read this earlier. You'll notice that in the description there, it's talking about Simeon, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What was he looking for? Well, the word consolation means a calling upon. It's an exhortation. It is an entreaty or a consolation. It can be a comfort. And what he was looking for, very simply, is for someone to come comfort them in the midst of all their destruction, in the midst of their agony and oppression. They were under the rule of the Roman government. They've been under such oppression. And the truth of the matter is, the Jews were expecting a Messiah. They knew the prophecies. All the Jews were looking for a Messiah. They were concerned about the coming one that would come and deliver them. They were looking for a deliverer. Their social situation was very poor. Their religious situation was very poor. They were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for the comforter, the consolation. And that's exactly who Simeon was looking for. And so they were looking for the Messiah. Now Jesus is the Messiah. Simeon's looking for the consolation to come, and he expresses he had seen that. Hey, I can go ahead and die now. So Jesus is the Messiah. But you know, I want to point out to you, to make it very, very clear unto you, that the Jews were looking for that. This is evident by their inquiry of John the Baptist. Over in John chapter 1, I'm going to read to you verse 19 through verse 21. But when John began his ministry, this is what the Bible records for us. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" So as John the Baptist began his ministry, well, the leaders of Israel were curious. So here in John chapter 1, we read that he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Now, you'll see their question wasn't specifically, "Are you the Christ?" They said, "Who are you?" Now, John knew what they were thinking. He knew what their inquiry was. He says, "I'm not the Christ. I am not the Messiah." And they asked him then, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Jews were looking for the deliverer. They were wanting the Messiah to come. In fact, in John chapter 1 and in verse 41, after Jesus began his ministry, he went and he found disciples, and one of them by the name of Andrew, it says in verse 41 of John 1, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Once he met Jesus, Andrew goes to find Simon and says, "Who did we find?" "We found the Messiah." They were looking for the Messiah, and they have found him. Further in John chapter 1 and verse 49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." They knew Jesus. These that believed knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They had been looking for him. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because as they go along in the ministry over in Luke chapter 19, I'm going to read to you verse 11. But even as they walked with Jesus for those 3 years, and they're coming down toward the end of the ministry and so forth, here's what is spoken of in Luke 19. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem." So Jesus speaks to them a parable. And why does he do this? Luke 19:11 says, "And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." As much as they've been with him, they still did not understand what he had come to do. They believed he was the Messiah. They believed that he was the deliverer. And they were looking for the kingdom. As a matter of fact, over in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, before he ascended up into heaven, after his crucifixion, after his burial, after his resurrection, after he spent those 40 days with him, and he's going to ascend up into heaven, in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, they said, "When they were therefore come unto together, they asked him, saying," here's their question, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" Even at that time, they're still looking for him to set up the kingdom. They saw him as the Messiah, and rightly so, because Jesus is the Messiah. Simon was looking and waiting for the consolation. But you know, if you'll go back in the book of Luke, look into chapter 1, you'll see that this was as prophesied in regard to John's birth. John had a reason for being born, and he was going to be a leader in Israel, but his whole reason was to prepare for Jesus' coming, which was the Messiah. So Luke chapter 1 and in verse 17, we read this scripture. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias." That's what John's going to do. "To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just." Why? "To make ready a people prepared for the Lord," who was coming after John. Jesus was coming after John. What was John's purpose? To make a preparation for the Lord, who is the Messiah. looking at further down in Luke chapter 1, look at verse 42. Even Elizabeth and the babe, while he was still, John the Baptist was still in her womb, recognized this to be the case. Luke chapter 1, verse 42, and she spake with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Mary had come to Elizabeth and said, Hey, this is what God has said to me. And she cries out this blessing. Look at verse 43. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. I'll tell you, babies in the womb are viable. Their life, by the way. And you'll notice that John the Baptist leaped at the news that the one who he's going to prepare the way for is on his way as well. And so Jesus is the Messiah. Look further into Luke chapter 1 and in verse 76. Even John's father, Zacharias, prophesies in regard to that. And thou, child, speaking of John, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Now go back to our chapter 2, look at verse 26. We notice in verse 25 that Simeon was waiting for the consolation. What's the declaration in verse 26? It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the anointed. And of course, when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in, he knows it to be him. He picks him up into his arms and he says, I have seen thy salvation. Jesus is the Christ, isn't he? But I'll also direct your attention then to chapter 2, verse 30, as the beginning of our text. And notice that Jesus is the Savior. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Of course, the word salvation here is a common word within the New Testament. It comes from the Greek word sozo, means to impart salvation. It is a saving. It comes from the root word, which means to rescue or to deliver, to preserve safe and unharmed. Now, certainly, you know what? In that sense of the word, as far as social ills are concerned, Moses was a savior. He delivered them out of Egypt. The judges in Israel, as we made reference, were saviors because they delivered them. Jesus is a savior. And for a long time, these disciples still fought that. Remember those verses where they, hey, will you restore the kingdom? We expect it now. Come on. Deliver us. They were confused about that. But we know by the scriptures and so many others, and we don't have time to look into all these, but we know that Jesus is not only the savior of men and their social ills and problems, he is the Messiah, but you know what? He's the Savior of sinners. And that's the good news, isn't it? Because we're all sinners. And so Simeon says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Not just the Messiah, but the Savior. The Savior of sinners. And wasn't he rightly named that? I mean, Jesus was rightly named. Over in Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 21, said that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The word Jesus is Yeshua, and it means Savior. It means deliverer. And so you have Jesus Christ is the deliverer, the Savior, the anointed one. And that's the one who Simeon held in his arms, knowing he was the Messiah, cries out, he is I've seen thy salvation. Not just in a social sense or political sense, more than that, the Savior of sinners. You recall what was said by the angel in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. We already read that text, but remember the angel said that there was born unto them a Savior. And the Bible is very clear about Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the Savior. I want to share a few verses with you. I have them written down. John chapter 4, verse 42. Jesus was speaking with the woman at the well, and after that conversation, she went into town and began to tell everybody about who she met at the well. And here's what's said in verse 42, because a lot of the townspeople came out to the well then to find out what she was talking about, and they got to speak to Jesus and interact with him. And here's the verse. And they said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, the Samaritans wouldn't have been all fired up about the Messiah, but they certainly are fired up about being delivered from their sins. Now, they recognize him as the Christ, who is the Savior. Acts chapter 5, verse 31 says, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." My friend, today, if you're lost and undone, you can have forgiveness of sins, and that repentance comes from God. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul wrote and he said, "Our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And on we could show you that Jesus Christ is not just the Messiah, He is their Savior. And so, sinner friend, today, I want you to know that your only hope is found in Jesus Christ. I look into the text and I see Simeon responding to this babe as he's brought to the temple. Led by the Spirit of God and having a knowledge of these things, he raises up Jesus into his arms and he makes the proclamation and he says, "God, I can die now because I have seen what you wanted me to see. I have seen thy salvation." I ask you, have you seen God's salvation? This is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. But if you'll look into those next two verses then, verse 31 and verse 32 of our text, I'll also point out to you that Jesus is every man's hope. Notice verse 31 as Simeon continues, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Jesus came before the face of all people. Jesus is every man's hope. And he describes it further in the next passage about the Gentiles and the Jews. Now, don't mistake me. I'm not saying that there's a universal salvation. I'm not saying that everybody in the world is saved. I'm not saying that there's not going to be anybody in hell whatsoever. But what I say unto you is that as there are sinners in all the world, Jew or Gentile, that God can save any of them through Jesus Christ. Any man who's ever going to be saved must be saved through Jesus. There is no other way. It's as simple as that. And so if you're here today outside of Jesus Christ and you hear the need that, "Oh, I'm a sinner and I'm under judgment, I'm under condemnation, I'm staring hell right into the face," well, our church can't give you eternal life, and I can dunk you till you're pruned and be baptized over and over, and it's not going to wash away your sin. The Savior is Jesus Christ. And you must, if you're going to go to heaven, if you're going to see God, you're only going to see it through His Son. You see, He came before all people. He's before the face of all men. And if any man anywhere is ever going to be saved, it's only going to be through Jesus Christ. Now, you see in verse 32, he says that he's going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. That word light is the word phos. We know that word in the English. We talk about it all the time. But it means daylight. It is a broad day. It can be applied toward the matter of illumination. And so he says here that he is a light to lighten the Gentiles. The word lighten in the text means a revelation or a manifestation. It comes from a Greek word that means to uncover or to reveal. And so what is this? Jesus, this salvation, is come before the face of all people. And those people are generally identified in verse 32 about Gentiles and Jews. But he says a light to lighten the Gentiles. Truth is, the world was in darkness. And Jesus, the light, came from heaven to shine, to be a light unto the Gentiles. But I'll tell you, it's also a light unto the Jews. Because you can read in the scripture that the light shined in the darkness. He went through Zebulun and the northern tribes and all that. And there was great light that shone. And yet they remained in their darkness. truth of the matter is, all men in this world, whether Jew or Gentile, are born dead in trespasses and sin, and enemies of God, and are stumbling around in the dark. They're blind. And all sinners need the Savior. And the only Savior is Jesus Christ. The only light that we can ever have is from God Himself. And Jesus is that light who came into the world, and He says to lighten the Gentiles. Now, I'm particularly glad for that because I'm a Gentile. So are you, aren't you? You say, well, I know that I have eternal life. I know that I'm saved. I'm forgiven of my sin. It's by God's grace, isn't it? God shown unto you your need. He brought that forth that light out of the midst of your darkness. You see, that's why Jesus came. Now, again, the people, they were a little bit confused. They were expecting Him to set up the kingdom. Well, that's at another time. But here He comes as a Savior, and He's going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of thy people Israel. And certainly, being a Jew and of that people, He came from their race. He was a glory of the nation, and they were looking for a deliverer. He is the deliverer. They missed it. He was their glory. They missed it. And as I mentioned the other day, of course, there are some Jews that do believe in Jesus Christ. They do accept Him as the Messiah, and they're called Messianic Jews. But they embrace Him as the Messiah, and they believe on Him, and they have eternal life by trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior. But do you see in the passage? Jesus is indeed the Christ. He is the Savior, and you know, He's every man's hope. And if any man's going to have hope, it's only going to be found in Jesus Christ. If any man's going to be saved, it will be through Jesus Christ alone. John 3:16 makes that very clear. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the only Savior. Over in Romans chapter 3, and in verse 12, it says, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Americans don't have a corner on salvation. Neither do what some might have claimed at one time, British Israelism and all that kind of stuff. Nobody has a corner on salvation. Jew or Gentile, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a grand promise in the Scripture. And it makes no difference who you are, what your background is, how much money you have, whether you're male or female, smart or dumb, good looking or ugly. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. If you'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, I realize some people take that verse and say, well, He's the Savior of all men. That means all men are saved. No, that's not what that says. It does tell us that if anybody is going to be saved anywhere, it's only going to be through Jesus Christ, because He alone is the Savior. But who is He truly the Savior to? Those who believe. And so the remainder of the world who never believes, well, He's a Savior that's available, but they don't believe, and of course, they'll face their judgment and condemnation in hell. But I'll tell you, the only hope that anybody has anywhere is Jesus Christ. There is no other hope. And so God spoke through Isaiah in Isaiah 45, and this was the declaration unto the nation of Israel. Isaiah 45, 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I'm so glad when I look at this passage today and I read through here, and let me give you these thoughts in conclusion, because what we have is Simeon declaring Jesus to be salvation. Now, that's what he says. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he's holding the baby in his arms. This is your salvation. We know he's the Christ. We know he's the Savior. And here's Simeon. Now, when you think about this, and really, you know, it's still true today. For Simeon to make that statement that he made about that baby, there must first be a recognition of Jesus. I wonder how many other babies were in the temple that day. I wonder how many other people were walking through, bringing their offerings because they had had a male child or a female child and they were bringing their offerings. I wonder how many were through there today and he just picked Jesus out. He knew. There was a recognition of Jesus. But then there secondly must be an understanding of what he shall do. Now, I say shall do because Simeon's looking at this babe, 40 days old-ish. And he says, I've seen thy salvation. Has Jesus gone to the cross yet? No. Has he been crucified and buried and risen again? Not yet. But Simeon knew and Simeon believed. And he says, I've seen thy salvation. And so then there was a response. And he believed it. He accepted it. And he said, God, I can go ahead and die now because your word's been fulfilled. I've seen your salvation. Glory, hallelujah. And he is excited about this. But I want you to know today that if you're ever going to know this salvation, you first have to recognize Jesus. Jesus alone is the Savior. And then you must understand what He has done. Not what He shall do, but what He has done. Jesus went to the cross, He was crucified, He was buried, He rose again the third day, and He gives eternal life to all who believe. As a sinner, would you understand that today? Would you accept that? Would you believe that? Would you recognize Jesus Christ as God's Son? Would you recognize Him as the Messiah, the Son of the Highest? Would you recognize Him as the Savior? And would you understand that He died on the cross for sinners, was buried and risen again? And then would you respond by faith? Every one of us are here today that make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Well, it's right in the term, isn't it? Profession of faith. We believed. God's given us eternal life. Simeon says, I've seen thy salvation. I ask you today, have you seen God's salvation? Do you know Jesus is Lord and Savior? More importantly, does He know you? We have found as we've gone through our text today that Jesus is the Messiah, that He is the Savior, and that He is every man's hope. Have you seen God's salvation? Jesus is the Deliverer. He's the only Deliverer. And so, sinner, today I point you to Jesus, the Mighty, to say, would you recognize Him? Would you understand what He has done? Would you repent and believe if God, as God gives you the grace to do so? Would you call upon the Lord today and be saved? And we who are saved ought to rejoice and praise God for the salvation He has given to us. Simeon was thrilled to death. We ought to still be thrilled in Jesus Christ. So, Christian, you ought to rejoice and thank the Lord for what you have, and then pray for those that are lost that they might be saved. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you stand. If God's spoken to your heart, you realize you're lost, you're undone, you need the Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Would you repent and believe? Would you call upon Him as God moves in your heart? As God convicts you, as God draws you, would you just surrender? Remember, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Scripture says. And we believe it. And so you don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to raise a hand. You don't have to repeat prayers after me. You repent, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have eternal life. Christ is the Savior. And for those of us who are saved, be sure to thank the Lord for what He's done for you. Father, we thank You for the day. Thank You for Your word and the opportunity to share it. Thank You for those who are here to hear it. And we ask that You would just bless it to every heart, saving the lost and strengthening the saved. And we give You the honor and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?